malach, this one's going to ben shlich. Everyone is going to do something else. So do you need 35 kezais, or is it sufficient with one kezais? Even if you have 100 people in that you're making it for, it's enough with one kezais. And the top tesis has a famous comment that there are three different dinim. If someone wants to go walk chutz l'tum, and he wants to make an Erebet Tchumen, let's say I live over here, so if I want to walk 20 miles away, it's not going to help. You can't make an Erebet Tchumen to go so far. A Tchum Shabbos is 18 minutes means outside of the city. The whole city is considered Kedal Ramas if the city is constructed in such a way that the houses are close enough to each other. Yeah. So then you can walk 18 minutes is a sheer meal. So you can walk 18 minutes outside of the city limits. What if the person wants to walk from one end of the city to the other? Let's say Manhattan, very big, one end to the other, and then he wants to walk 15 minutes. So that you don't need an Erev Tchumen. You can walk to the end of the city, then walk that Tzarchat Tchum. What if he wants to walk 25 minutes? So then he has to put an Erev Tchumen. You can't put it more than 18 minutes away from the end of the city, then it's chutz l'tchum. You should put it 15 minutes away, so then you have a tchum Shabbos, then you can go another 18 minutes, walk another 18 minutes after that. So let's say a whole group of people want to go to hear a chazan, they want to hear a Shabbos HaGadol Rosh, whatever, they want to go chutz l'tchum, and they want to make an Erev Tchum. So the Gemara says, the shir for Erev Tchum is not kazayis. The shir for Erev Tchum is you have to put mazon shtei sudas. You have to put enough food to eat in two meals. It doesn't mean the whole meal. Let's say if you're going to put pickles, you want to put a jar of pickles, so how many pickles do you have to put? How many pickles would a normal person eat in the course of two meals? Not so many pickles. Let's say challahs. How much challah would you eat in the course of two meals? A flesh. How much flesh would you eat in two meals? Or other vegetables, whatever, mustard, ketchup, whatever food you're putting for the Erevei Tchumen, how much of this would one eat in the normal course of events if he was eating two meals worth of it? So if you have, let's say, 25 people all want to go hear a chazan, go hear a drosha, a chutz l'tchum, so you need 25 times that amount of pickles, which is mazon shtei sudas. You need mazon shtei sudas l'chol echad v'echad. And if you have 100 people, so you need 100 times mazon shtei sudas. Sure. That's one din. Then there's another din of Erevei Chatzeres. Let's say you have an apartment building.
Yeah.
So min hatar, the whole building is one big Rishus HaYochid, but the Rabbanim, because one family lives there, one family lives there. Every apartment is used by a different family, and the hallways are used by everybody together. The lobbies, the front lobbies, the back lobbies, the backyard, are used by different people. They have an Erev in the whole community. So the Erev, the Tzimis HaPesach, makes the whole community into one big Rishus HaYochid. But everybody lives in their own private home. So then there's a Gzera Shlomo HaMelech that even though it's one big Rishus HaYochid min HaTorah, but the Rabbanim Shlomo HaMelech said you're not allowed to carry in the Chatzah Sheinim or Rebbe. So you have to put away a box of matzahs. That's the Erevei Chatzeres. So how much do you have to put? So Tosfos quotes, Erevei Chatzeres, you need a kigregeris. A gregeris is a dried out fig. It's less than a...
More than a kazai.
I think it will give slightly less than a kazai. I think it's slightly less than a kazai. So the din is that you need a grogeris. I think there are three grogeris to every beitza, something like that. So I think the din is you need a grogeris of bread l'chol echad v'echad for each family. Let's say you have an area, let's say here Forest Hills, you have a whole area, you have a few hundred Jewish families in Mistamer who are using there. So you have to rent from all of the goyim. Someone has to rent from the moshel who here, from the borough president or whatever, as representing all the goyim, and buy their rights to the streets. And then you have to put away so much challah or matzahs. You need a grogeris for every Shemesh Shabbos family that has a separate home. Up until the point of 18 grogeris. That's what that's called.
Where do you have to put it? You put it in the rabbi's house?
You put it in someone's home. You have to put it in someone's home.
And but then you still need an Erev Tchumen for the people in the same house, in a building, or this includes already everything?
Erev Chatzeres? No. Once you have the whole area,
it's everything. It's like Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah. The only shaila is, when you rent from the Moshel Ha'ir, when you rent from the chief of police or the borough president as representing all the Nochrim,
is Nisomcha,
Vetim Gemachta Balabos, yeah? Who made him the Balabasta? Years ago, the Moshel Ha'ir in the days of the Rishonim had a right to station troops. He could put soldiers whenever he wanted
to
in anyone's home.
Yeah.
He could put soldiers in anyone's home. But after the advent of democracy, so you can't station soldiers in anyone's home unless it's wartime, and you can't declare war without Congress approving it. So that's the Shiloh. Maybe after you have the institution of democracy, maybe none of the Eruvin are any good. So that's what the Chacham Tzvi lived in Amsterdam. Chacham Tzvi first lived in Vilna. Then he ran away. He was almost killed by the pogroms in Zeres Tachvatat. In 1648, 1649. So the Shach and all the Gedolim, they were almost all killed at that time. So he ran away to Amsterdam. So he came up with this new thing, democracy. He saw it was a new blessing and a curse together, a blessing and a curse. So he writes in his tshuvas that once you live in a democratic country, you can't rent from the Moshel Ha'ir anymore. The Moshel Ha'ir is Mishkan Balabas. He has no right to station any troops, and he can't declare war. He can only station troops in wartime. Can't declare war, so there's no more Moshel Ha'ir. So you have to go rent from every single nachem. The minigolim is lahokal anat. They say Ramoshe is mekal anat. Ramoshe said that other rabbi, since we have elected the Moshel Ha'ir,
over the streets and the thing, the Moshel Ha'ir has all the power.
Oh, so that's the shaila. So it could be that when we rent from the chief of police, from the borough president, we're really only renting the streets.
Right. How about in the houses?
Oh, but building? Then in the houses, so if you say like that, that he's only the Moshel Ha'ir with respect to the streets, because he is a balabas on the streets to stop traffic or to divert traffic or to build
fix
or something.
Or whatever, yeah.
To fix, yeah. So then it would come out that each apartment building would need its own area in addition to the area. So usually the Velt is not glaucal on that. They're makel to treat the Moshel Ha'ir as Chiva Lakito. The Gemara has a din. You know, the real din is like this in the Gemara. You have to rent from every goy who is included in the area. You have to go knock on every goy's door. And one of the goy is like Haman. The Gemara calls him Haman. Haman Baristi. There was one goy who was a lahachasnik and he didn't want to rent to the Eden. Homan Baristik, they called him for fun. So they rented from his sleeping maid or his sleeping butler. And he's screaming, he doesn't want that. They went to his wife and they rented from the wife. He was in misery. And his wife, they gave her a couple of dollars and she rented. But the house doesn't belong to the wife, it belongs to the husband. So the Gemara says, Vamekel, an heir of him, Vamekel. You don't have to rent from the guy himself. If you rent from the wife, even though the husband is screaming, you give the wife $10 and she'll already fix it. Or you give money to the sleeping maid, a butler. A yid or a guy does make a difference. A sleeping maid, a butler who works in the guy's home, he's not the balabas there. But since he's sleeping maid, a butler, so that's called schiro the kito of the guy. So that's also a cooler that it helps. So that's the shilat. We rent from the Moshel Ha'ir, considering the Moshel Ha'ir, the chief of police or the mayor, is considered as if he's chira lakito of all of the goyim. That's a shayla, but he has no shaykhis to use the apartment. Maybe the Moshel Ha'ir today in a democracy is only like chira lakito vis-a-vis the streets. Maybe he's not chira lakito vis-a-vis the actual inside of the apartment, in which case you have to go rent again. You have to make in every apartment building another separate Erev Chatzeres, and you have to rent again from the super as representing all of the goyim in the apartment building. So that's different practices. Some are machmer on that, and others are not machmer. Anyway, that's what Taisa says. There are three different dinim. If you want to make, that's a Gemara. The Gemara says the maximum you need a grogeris for each family that has a separate home. Achiyeh beis sudas up until the point of that's 18 grogeris. Beis sudas is 18 grogeris. Once you have more than 18 Shomer Shabbos families. So then they all have to have a shutfus. Let's say hundreds and hundreds of religious families, they all have to have a shutfus and the box of matzahs, but the box of matzahs doesn't have to contain more than six. I think 18 grogers is six beitzim. There are three grogers and a beitzim.
Why are we saying that by the Erev?
We don't. I don't know. It's a good question. That's what Taisa points out. There are three different dinim. Each din is totally different. By the Erev Tchumen you need Mozen Shtei Sudas for each and every person with no maximum limit. Every person you need Mozen Shtei Sudas. How many pickles would you eat in two meals, and how many vegetables would you eat? How much ice cream would you eat in two meals? Whatever the food is that you're using, you need Mozen Shtei Sudas, two meals worth of that food. And in Erev Chatzeres, the shear, the basic shear is Grogeres to each Shomer Shabbos family. Mm-hmm. Each household, and there's a maximum of 18 grogers. That's Mozen Shtei Sudas and six beitzim. That's a machlekes. What's Mozen? There's a machlekes hatanoim. When you use these terminology, when you use these expressions, how much bread does a normal person eat in one meal? Does he eat three beitzim or does he eat four beitzim? So how much is Mozen Shtei Sudas? Is Mozen Shtei Sudas six beitzim or eight beitzim? So Tosis is using the expression. We assume that it's this shear over here is really six beitzim. Six beitzim. And they're assuming that it's three times two. that you have three beitzim worth, the volume of three beitzim of bread in every meal. That's what the Tosfos is assuming over here, because the shear is 18 gregris. It has gregris. And over here, the third din is Erev Tavshilin, that all you need in the first place is a kezayis. If 100 people want to rely on one Erev Tavshilin, it's perfectly okay, and the shear never gets bigger. You never need more than a kezayis. That's the Gemara. Okay, so that's how the Gemara interpreted the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if shear memena kolshu, sem cholav l'shabbos, if you had a big Erev Tavshilin, and part of it was nechal, part of it got lost, and part of it was eaten up already by mistake, and amazing, whatever, so as long as a kezayis worth was left, so you may continue to cook and to bake the Kovat Shabbos, relying on that Erev Tavshilin. Whatever food you happen to be using, doesn't make a difference. By Erev Tchumen, if you're using pickles, you have to have, how many pickles would you eat in 2 meals? Using flesh, how much flesh would you eat in 2 meals? And the Mishnah gives details about what's considered normal.
2 meals.
Yeah, if you're using bread, so it's a shear for bread, how much bread would you eat in 2 meals? And here by Erev Tavshilin, it doesn't matter what the food is. It can be pickles, it can be whatever the michel is, the shear is, kazayis, whatever the min is.
Doesn't mean
that
kazayis of each
one. No.
No.
No matter what the min is,
yeah. No matter which min food, whatever type of food you happen to be using for the Erev Tavshilin, the shear is only kazayis. That's the Gemara. That's how the Gemara understands. So 2 weeks ago we started the first tikkun Gemara, Tezvav on the base. The Gemara presented a machlokes amarayim. What prompted the Chachamim to make this Gzeira d'Rabbanan? What did they have in mind? So one opinion was that you're really worried. The reason why we insist on having an Erev Tavshilin is because of Kvod Shabbos. Because on Yom Tov, usually people eat and drink and they're more merry on Yom Tov than they are on Shabbos. Shabbos comes every week, so we don't get so excited about Shabbos. But Yom Tov comes once in a long while. So we're going to eat and drink, so we may eat up all the food in the house, but nothing left for Shabbos. So Zachar, Tam Shabbos, Lekacho, you should remember Shabbos. Don't forget, Zachrehu, remember it, May Acher, Shebo LaHashkicho. That's the first white line on Tezvav and Beis. Remember Shabbos because there's something, namely Yom Tov, will may possibly cause you to forget all about Shabbos. So the way to remember Shabbos is make an Erev Tavshilin in advance on Erev Yom Tov. Don't forget to leave over some food for a Shabbos. That's the first mandama says like that. That's the reason why they require an Erev Tavshilin. The second mandama is the more popular reason. Rav Ashi says, not because we're afraid you're going to eat up all the food, you have nothing left for Shabbos. No, we want people to know that everybody takes off from work on Yom Tov. Religious Jews don't go to work on Yom Tov. So the Balabasta may decide, oh, she doesn't go to work on Yom Tov, so she'll cook
for Yom Tov for a whole week.
She'll cook on Yom Tov for the whole month. She'll cook all the food and put it in the freezer and have everything all prepared. So you're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for the weekdays. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov for Yom Tov. Echol Nevesh means on Yom Tov for Yom Tov, not Yom Tov for the weekdays. So we want to be mechazik. We want to strengthen that awareness in people's minds, that they should keep in mind that you're not allowed to do a malach on Yom Tov for the weekdays. So we don't even allow you to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, in order to bring out this awareness that kavachaymer that they shouldn't cook on Yom Tov for the weekdays. Kavachaymer Yom Tov l'chol. So this was the machlokes amarayim. What prompted the chachamim to to make the gzera in the first place. Okay. Then we started learning. This is the Gansan Arenas. Zohar doesn't really mean to remember the day of Shabbos Me'achir Shabbola Hashkicha. Remember Shabbos because Yom Tov may cause you to forget it. This whole pshat is only a pshat. Yeah. It's only an asmat. Yeah. The real pshat is Zohar mentioned the day of Shabbos Lekatsho to declare the Kedushas Hayom. Lahazikir Kedushas Hayom on Shabbos to recite Kiddush. So this was the beginning of the Gemara, and we learned up until Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan is about 10 lines into the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara tells, Ma'isa b'Rab Lezer, Shoyu Yoshe b'Dorish Kolayim Kuloi, the Hilchas Yantif, who was on one of the Yom Tovim. So the Tana Rab Lezer ben Hurkinus, the famous Tana Rab Lezer, was giving a shir. And he was giving a long, long, long shir. Like on a regular day. He used to give shir and yeshiva, and they went to lunch break, it was whatever, 1 o'clock. 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, giving whole shir. So some of the people who were there,
they're hungry.
They wanted to eat. So they listened a little bit, 20 minutes, and then they left. Yotzei Kafri Shaina, the first group of people left. After 20 minutes, they heard the Divrei Torah, and they left. So after they left, he insulted them, and he says, "Halo l'balei patasim. They must have big cholent pots at home, and they have a lot to eat. But we're going to continue to learn." Keeps on saying the shir. So Kachnia left. So another Kach of people left. They went home. So then he made a snide comment to those who remained behind. So he says, halola balichovis. They must have big barrels of wine and they're interested in fressing also. Kachlishis left. So after they left, Kitazak, halola balichadim. They have smaller containers of wine or soda, whatever. They're also fressers. They're all interested in eating. Then the fourth cut left every 20 minutes. Another group leaves and he keeps on saying the shir. He doesn't take the hint. He keeps saying, he's not interested in hints. He wants to give his regular shir, like on a regular day. On a regular day, he also gave shir. But they didn't fast on a regular day. They went to eat lunch, whatever, 12:30, 1 o'clock, whatever time lunch was. So he's giving a shir on Yom Tov, the same as a regular day. Treating Yom Tov like a regular day. You'll eat a tuna fish sandwich later in the afternoon. You make kiddush and you have lecha mishnah. But no big elaborate meal. The same. If you're going to have a major meal on Yom Tov, you have to have time. You have to give people time to eat. But he holds, Reb Lezer holds, that you eat on Yom Tov the same amount as you eat on a regular weekday. Nothing special. On Shabbos, the Gemara says, Reb Lezer agrees, state the Karasa of the Shabbos Oinik. That's the Pasuk in Yeshayah. You have to have Oinik Shabbos means you eat a more elaborate meal than on the weekdays. But on Yom Tov, Reb Lezer denies it. He holds that Pasuk, Karasa of the Shabbos Oinik, doesn't necessarily apply to Yom Tov, only applies to Shabbos. So the first group leads, and second, the fourth group leads, he has a snide remark about them. They have canteens of wine that they're drinking. Katchamishis leaves, Gitazak, Alola Balikaisis, they're also drinking. Otkos, Vilkas, Chilu Katshishis Lotzeis, the sixth cut is about to leave. So he gives them over the head, he says, Alola Bali Meira, they should be cursed. He's angry at everybody while they're leaving. Nasanena, the Talmidim, so he started to stare at the Talmidim, and they didn't understand what is he staring at them. Is he angry? Why they don't leave? Why do they make me say such a long shir? Is that what he's angry about? Or is he angry why the other... They didn't know what to make out of it. They didn't understand what he's staring at them. So the faces started to change. They didn't know what they're supposed to do. He's cursing everybody and angry at everybody. Amalahan Bana, I say, he told them, no, I'm not angry at them. I'm not angry at you, other rabbi. We should learn like a regular shir, a shir like a regular day. And the lunch break is at 1 o'clock. You go for lunch. He wants to say his regular shir. I'm not angry at you. I didn't call you Balaneir. I'm angry at the others. Why they left? They should have stayed like a regular. I'm learning terrorist called Chayolam. Food is Chayisho. So finally, but there was a lunch break on Yom Tov. You have to have
something to eat.
Like a regular day also. The Shas Petiras Amalahem. When they finally were, he finished the shir. And then it was 1 o'clock on time tea before Chatzais. You're not allowed to fast till Chatzai, so as they were all about to leave at 12:45, whatever, Amalahem, so he quoted the Pasuk in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, Perikhes, it says, when they built the second base on Migdash, they opened up on the Rosh Hashanah and had Kriyas Atar and Mat Gedavit, and Ezra got the first Aliyah, Ezra the Kohen got the first Aliyah, Baruch Hashem Shemaham Barach. It says that they learned Kriyas Atar like we do. And then after the whole davening was all over, after Musaf, they davened Shabbos Musaf in the Beis Hamikdash, they davened Musaf also. So after they were finished, Ezra greeted everybody, they should all go home and eat and drink and be merry. L'chuyei chokma ashmanim, they should eat fatty foods, they should sum amtakim, they should drink sweet wines. V'shulcha monis le'nochan lo, they should send food to those who don't have any food prepared. Kikodesh ayom la'adanena, because today is Rosh Hashanah, so you should celebrate. Al teyatz should not be said on Rosh Hashanah, even though Rosh Hashanah is a yom adin. Rosh Hashanah is the season of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, so there's what to be nervous about, what to be sad about. No, al teyatzvi, you're not allowed to cry on Rosh Hashanah. Yeched vas Hashem hi ma'uschem. Your rejoicing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be your strength. So he told this Talmid, and that pasuk happens to be by Rosh Hashanah. And the Chen is Sahita here, it sounds like it wasn't the day of Rosh Hashanah. It was Tam on other Yom Tov. So he quoted that pasuk to them. They should all go home and they should enjoy the meal. So that's Adkan, that's the story. Fake the Gemara, we don't understand the story. What was he so angry about, the people who were leaving, the first six groups who left, that he was so angry? Sheminich Amava Ma'ar, it says in the verse, he's angry. Sheminich Mechai Yoilam, they're learning, they ignore the learning. Voskim Mechai Shad, they're running away to do things that are not that important. Fake the Gemara. What do you mean not important? Simchas Yantav Mitzvah. Simchas Mitzvah, Simchas Yantav. To enjoy Yantav also, what's so terrible if you want to enjoy it? And for the Gemara, no, but it's a machlekes Ablezer Nachachomim. Ablezer goes l'shitaser. Ablezer l'taine goes l'shitaser. Drama, simchas yantif reshus. It's optional. Let's say it's optional. The Tanya, Ablezer Raimer, there is a contradiction between two psukim. The Gemara quotes, Amar Abyechanan, just two lines later. Amar Abyechanan, Shneim mikre echodor, both Ablezer and Rabbi Yeshua were faced with the same problem from Chumash. Mikra is a pasuk in Tanakh, Mikra. So there's one pasuk that describes Yantav as Kosev Echadayim, one pasuk describes Yantav as Atzeres Lashem Elokecha, a day on which you dedicate everything to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You daven, and you say a lot of tilim, and you learn a lot, all ruchnis de gezachen. Kosev Echadayim, Atzeres Tielacha, you should eat and drink and be merry. So which is it?
Yeah.
What do you do? That's how Rabbi Yosef Reimer says it. What do you do when you have Shnei Ksuvim on a Kishim Zezer? And there is no kosev ashlishi shechir b'nem. So what do you do? So it's not listed in the Midrash HaTorah of Yosef Reimer. What do you do when you have Shnei Ksuvim on a Kishim Zezer? So it's a machloikas Ablezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Midrash HaTorah of Yosef Reimer. So Ablezer says that you have an option of either doing A or B. You have an option of either doing A or B. And Rabbi Shua says, no, if you have no mik kotz v'ashlishi shechei b'neim, so you compromise, you make a compromise on your own. So Rabbi Leza says,
you become the
kotz v'ashlishi. So Rabbi Leza says, Rabbi Leza, and the ain lalad miyontef ala ochel v'shoise, either he eats and drinks more than usual, right? You should have extra amount of eating and drinking, or you should dedicate the day more. Look, he has to eat and drink on Yom Tov, so you don't fast on Esen. Or he should be Yosha Vishayna. He should daven extra and learn extra. He should either dedicate the day mostly to Ruchnias or extra Gashmis, either one or the other. Because of the steer between the two psukim, so Rabbi Leza says, you have an option, either A or B. But Rabbi Shua says, no, whenever you have such a contradiction, you figure out on your own some kind of a compromise, and you do half and half. Huh?
They're doing a mitzvah, so what's the
parents? But he felt they had an option of either doing
stress.
Either listening to his shiur, which are the best shiur in the world. And Blaise Shur, they can either fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yanta by listening to my shiur, or choose to fulfill Simchas Yanta by emphasizing Achila Shtia. So why did they choose that form? They should have chosen the other form. If it's optional, so they should have chosen my form. It's better my form. But if you're all like Rabbi Shua, what do you mean? There is no choice. Allah requires you have to have a combination. Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Lachem. Yeah, gave a little bit of a shear, and now you have to have extra amount of eating and drinking. That's the Machlekes HaTanoim. We pointed out once, there is such a Machlekes HaTanoim in Brachas on Daf Lamin Hei, on the days, in the first Daf in Ketz and Mevorchim. The Gemara says there's also an apparent contradiction between Tupsukim, and we don't know, there is no Kosva Shlishi Shakriya B'nei. The one pasuk says v'hagisa b'yom v'aloyla, pasuk in Yeshua, that you have to learn all day and all night, all day and all night. So when are you going to make a parnasa? Live on ruchnis. And the other pasuk says v'yasafta d'ganecha, v'shirosh v'yitzerecha, you got to make a parnasa. So what's the teretz? So and there is no kosev ashlishi shechriya b'nei. So one teretz would be that you have an option, either to lead a normal life to make a parnasa, not to learn so much, or to learn in the Kollel, either to do A or to do B, either to choose this or that.
And
yeah, so that's what one Tana, right? Rabbi Shmuel says that we pass in Hanig by Minig Darchas. We pass in, even though there is no Kosov Ashlish Shechriya Benayim, we understand on our own that you have to make a compromise. You learn every 3 minutes that you have, whenever you have to go to do things for Parnasa, for raising children, whatever. So you're not mechuyif to learn. Whenever you have free time, then you're mechuyif to learn. It's not that Parnasa is such a big mitzvah, it's the Chiyuv Talmud Torah. It's that the Chiyuv Talmud Torah is only chal when there's free time. When it's not free time, not mechuyif. That's how we assume. That we figured out this teretz on our own. There is no kashma shlishi, but we suggested on our own that chalkei. And the other Tana says no, that the Torah really wants that people should be extremists. Either you should be sitting and learning, if you're somehow someone else will support them. And the other people, either you support Kailalim and you don't have a chance to learn. You learn a little bit, you go to a shiur once in a while, but basically you're always sitting in Parnassah the whole day and you support the others. And the others should be sitting and learning the whole day, and they should be relying on this and from others. That's the extreme opinion. You go, that's like Rabbi Lezer says over here, either A or B. And we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, like over here, like Rabbi Shua. When you have the Shnei Ksuvim on Kishm Gazer, then you're supposed to understand on your own to figure out Chalkeyu. Chetzel Hashem and Chetzel Lachem over there also. But Gisel Yom Malay, you figure out when you have free time. That's a similar machlokes. What do you do? The machlokes is, what do you do when you have Shnei Ksuvim on Kishm Gazer? There is no kashva shlishi shechriya b'emet. So we pask him that you make your own pshar.
More than those two cases in which comes in Shnei.
Yes, Engel only think, I think only quotes these two. He doesn't have any more. Maybe they're more than the Gemara. I don't know. He doesn't quote any more. Yosef Engel wrote an encyclopedia of his Chiddush HaTorah. He didn't write an encyclopedia Talmud did. He only wrote an encyclopedia of what he has to say. So he wrote every letter of the alphabet. He wrote Aleph Beis, everything, from Aleph to Tav. Except most of it, I think, was destroyed by the Nazis. So we only have printed Aleph. It's called the Beis HaOitzah. The Beis HaOitzah, the storage house of all of his Chiddush HaTorah. So we have the whole letter Aleph he wrote. And we have the letter Beis goes halfway. And all the rest was in manuscript, and after the war they couldn't find it. They hid it from the Nazis, and after the war they looked and they couldn't find it. They assumed it's all destroyed. And the letter base in the second volume, he has on the base ksuv mamakishim zeza. This is the way he has it listed. Base ksuv mamakishim zeza, and there is no kashma shlishi shechriya b'nei.
The cycle of the Talmudis will go on the shnei and push it off to the shiur.
Probably. That's where it does belong. It belongs on the shin. Yeah. The shail is, what is this machloikis Rav Lezer and Rav Shur? What exactly are they fighting about? So Pasha Pshat is that they're arguing about Simchas Yontif. About there is a mitzvah Samachta B'Chagecha. So how does one understand Simchas Yontif? Does one to understand that Simcha Negash Mizdike says, Achil Ishtiya, Ichla Mashmar, Shizuman Takim and so on? Or should one understand Simchas Hanefesh in Eruch Mizdike says? Whatever, that's the Machlokes. So Rav Soloveitchik on one occasion said like that. And then a few years later, he gave a Yartzai Drosha on this Gemara. They said, when you look in the Gemara, in Psochim, the exact same Gemara appears in Psochim. It says, on Daf Samaches on the base, and it says, Ayin Shom. Ayin Shom has that there's more. Either there's a contradiction or there's more. So the Gemara says there in Psochim, on Daf Samaches on the base, that this Machlokes of Lezer Rabbi Shira is only on Yontif. On Shabbos, Hakol Moedim, they all agree. On Shabbos, the Bina Nami Lachem, you need an elaborate meal more than a weekday. You don't just eat a tuna fish sandwich on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you have to have Lechem Mishni, you have to say Kiddush Vayin and benching and Yalav V'Yavai. But on Shabbos, you have to have a more elaborate meal because the pasuk says the Karasa V'Shabbos Seinim. So that they all agree. So the Rav pointed out, what does it mean? The Machlokes is only on Yom Tov, how to fulfill Simchas Yom Tov. But on Shabbos, they all agree how to fulfill Simchas Shabbos. No, there is no Simcha on Shabbos. On Shabbos, the Halacha is there is no Chiyuv Simcha.
Oinig,
not Simcha. Yeah. So what did the Gemara say? They all agree on Shabbos. If Shabbos is no issue, Shabbos is no Shaila.
Yeah.
So that's what it means. And Machlokes only is how to fulfill Simcha, but not how to fulfill Oinig. So he suggested maybe it means, You could still stick with the first pshat. There's nothing wrong with the first pshat. First pshat was that is the machlokes. How does one fulfill the samachta b'chagecha? Einig means physical einig. Achil ishtia is einig. And a yontif, when it's a mitzvah of simcha, krasa l'shabbos einig goes on Shabbos, doesn't go on yontif. On yontif, there's a mitzvah of simcha. How do you fulfill simcha? Well, Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe he meant something else. He showed from Rishonim and Achreinim, Ritvon Megillah and Abach and Orachaim, that there's a mitzvah saseh of Shabboson. And the mitzvah of Shabboson, on Shabbos Yom, the mitzvah of Shabboson is not just an iser asay, don't do malacha. That whoever does malacha is not only in violation of the lois asay, he's also in violation of the essay of Shabboson. No, it would appear more than that. The Ritvo and the Bach have a suggestion that Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Tov is derais. What's fun? I follow those Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Tov is there. Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shabbos and Yom Tov, Kriyas HaTorah is derais. Talein Sheni V'Hamishi. You shouldn't go 3 days without that. The Gemara says that that's a takon of the Rabbanim. That's not a din there, right? So that's takon of the Rabbanim. More discussed, was it Ezra? Ezra. Was it Moshe Rabbeinu? Yeah. Who made the takon is a discussion. Yeah. But that's clearly only takon. And even if it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it may be recorded in the Chumash, and they're Eimayim Alatera, it's still only takon of the Rabbanim. Even though it's recorded in the Chumash records the takon of the Rabbanim. It's only a din the Rabbanim, it's not a din the Raisa. But they want to say, the Bach and the Ritvo want to say, that Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos Yom Tov is deraisa. What's a deraisa? So the Ritvo says it's based on the essay of Shabbos. So you see that the essay of Shabbos is not just an iser assay. Whoever does malacha on Shabbos Yom Tov is in violation of a lois essay, of lasasik malacha, and in violation of an essay. No, the essay is a kiyum ha-essay also. The way to fulfill the mitzvahs, a mitzvah says to become an essay is by doing Shabbatika things. By doing Shabbatika things. Rav Soloveitchik thought that that was the machloik of Satanaim over here. How does one fulfill the essay of Shabbos and on Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, Hakol Moedim B'Shabbos. On Shabbos, they all agree that the way to fulfill the essay of Shabbos and on Shabbos has to be with extra Achil Ishti, because the Pasuk in Yeshayah is Megala, the Karos of the Shabbos Einik. So that's Megala, that the way to fulfill Shabbos and on Shabbos is by Achil Ishti. But on Yom Tov, that's the Machlegs of Lezer Rabbi Yeshua. How does one fulfill the essay of Shabbos? Whatever it is, either it's a machlokes how to fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, or how to fulfill the mitzvah of Shabbos.
Also, about Seres, by Shavuos, the Hakol Moedim that you have to have.
Yes.
Also, because you shouldn't go to the Torah.
The Gemara says Shavuos, they all agree that you have to have a more elaborate meal than a weekday. And Shabbos, they all agree because of the Shabbos. So when is there machlokes? On Yom Kippur, there's no machlokes after Pesach.
It's
on Pesach. And on Sukkot, there's a machlokes. And on Rosh Hashanah, is Vaita Shaila. Some goyim hold that you're permitted and obligated. Fast. They recommend you should fast on Rosh Hashanah. We don't hold like that. So we hold that the machlokes applies to Rosh Hashanah also. It applies to Rosh Hashanah, to Pesach, and to Sukkot. On Shavuos, there's no machlokes. How come moedim that you have to have an elaborate meal? And on Shabbos is no machlegis. Everybody agrees you have to have an elaborate meal.
What do they do with this pasta with
Rosh Hashanah? Yeah, how can they say that there's a mitzvah to fast? I don't remember. The great I'm talking about it. How can there be a mitzvah to fast? The pasuk said the fairest there should be. Mm-hmm. Have to look it up, Papa. In the this week's Sedra, the Pasuk introduces the Aseres HaDibros right before Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the introduction says, "Vaydaber Elokim es kol advarim ho'ela le'mor." It's the beginning of chapter Chof, Pasuk Aleph. What does it mean, "Vaydaber Elokim kol advarim"? Kol is usually a ribui. It's maybe something over and above what it says. What's called as marbe. So the Gemara has in the first parak in Chagigah, the Gemara says that sometimes you have a machlekes hatanoim, like Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shuli just had a machlekes hatanoim. So who's right? One is right and one is wrong. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says you should study the divrei hametamim, the divrei hametaharim, the divrei hoisrim, the divrei hamativim, the divrei hamechayvim, the divrei hapoitrim. Because Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Lekim Chayim. The Gemara learns that from this pasuk with Kol. The double Kim is Kol Advarim Ho'Eilu. Kol is LeRabbis. LeRabbis, even the opinion that's not accepted sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes we say that Eilu Yehuda did with a Kimchaim. What does it mean Eilu Yehuda did with a Kimchaim? It's a very interesting concept. The Gemara appears in the Erev and Daf Yud Gimel. So the Gemara there, in the context of the Gemara, they're talking about the many disputes between the Bisham and the Bishilo. So the Gemara says, in all these machlekes, you shouldn't think that one is right and the other one is wrong. No, Eilu Yehuda did with a Kimchaim. When you learn the opinion of the Shaman, which is not accepted, it's also considered a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, because there is something to it. Sometimes someone's made a mistake. Sometimes an Adam God made a mistake. So when you learn his sefer, it's a bittul Torah. It's not the kiyum of Talmud Torah. But every so often, we do apply the principle of Eilu Yehuda did with a Kimchaim. So the Ritvo comments on that Gemara, that what another Mefarshim say the same as well, but the Ritvo is the earliest one who says it, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked him, what's the din in this case, what's the din in that case, and what about under these circumstances, will the din change or not? So sometimes Baruch Shalom said that it's absolutely yosa, sometimes it says mutter. And some of the shaylas that Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Baruch Shalom, he said it's a gray area of halacha, it has elements of this, elements of hecha, and so on. And he leads it up to the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Davar Dor to determine based on their perspective, based on the way I understand. Based on the way they understand the picture of Kol HaTorah Kula. So that's the concept of Eilu Yehuda did with a Kimchaim. That's one comment that the Gemara has in the first Perek in Chagiga on the word Kol. Then Rav Chaim Volozhin has in his Sefer Nefesh HaChayim a long essay, a long shar on the Hashivas of Liman HaTorah. His whole Sefer was written to counteract the Hasidus. So in the middle of the Sefer, he attacks the Hasidim, why they daven Mincha so late, and they missed the Zman Krisha, they missed the Zman Tfila. And all his manim are all sedreit, and they insist too much on lishmor, on purifying the kavanas. They should be a little more medactic on the digdukim, observing the details of the halacha, and forget a little bit. They shouldn't be so insistent on all the kavanas, on purifying all the kavanas. So that's one of the themes of the sefer. And then he talks a lot of hashkafa in general. So part of his attack against the Hasidim is that they're not learning enough Torah. He doesn't say he's attacking the Hasidim. Says he heard that there are such people in the world, but it's obvious that he's attacking the Hasidim. So he has a whole shah which he dedicates to the Hasidim, the importance of Liman Hatur. So he quotes the Midrashim, this is already not the Gemara, quotes the Midrashim that comment on the word Kol is a Riboy, that Kol Masha Talmud Vasek Gosid Lechadish Nevel Olamashim is Sina, that any good word that a Talmud Chacham will come up with in any future generation was all included in what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Not only did he tell him he taught Moshe Rabbeinu Kol HaTorah Kula with any good word that a Talmud Vasek will say in any future generation. What does it mean that every single word was told to Moshe Rabbeinu? How can it be? So you mean Moshe Rabbeinu, so over the generations we have forgotten so much, and anything, any good word that anybody's mechadish now, we're just restoring what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's usually not the Rastam who say like that. But the Rambam is very upset about that. Rabbeinu Hirsch writes like that. He says that every word was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you need Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSpam for? So he says the Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSpam is just a check to make sure that you're not making a mistake.
You're learning it right way.
Yeah, maybe you forgot which the Kabbalah was. Maybe the Masoret Wall is really fakir. So if you can figure that with one of the Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSpam, so then it's a similar dover that this was the correct way it was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. But really, every single din that we have now that's based on Midrash HaTorah, everything, the din itself was given to Moshe Rabbeinu.
What do they do with the Gemara that Moshe Rabbeinu
had Kalisha Shadav? So the Pashat Shadav Gemara is not, not like the Rabbeinu Hirsch, right? Rabbeinu Hirsch writes this in attacking Gratz. Gratz was a student of his. Gratz wrote a whole book on Jewish history. The Gratz writes, originally, he went on Apikoyer's Gratz. He says, there is no such thing as Torah Shabbat. There's only Torah Shabbat. And then in the days of Hillel and Shammah, they invented this whole business with the Torah Shabbat. So he gets all burnt up about this. He says, Chas v'shom, how can you say like that? And he goes to the opposite extreme. So everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Hasin, every single din, every sifkot in the Mishnah Brewer, everything was given. I said, what do you need? Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSpam? That's just to check to make sure that you remembered it right. That's you never derived anything through the Midrash HaTorah and Midrash HaSpam. So the Rambam in the Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah is very, he quotes the Goyim who said like the Rabbeinu Hirsch. And the Rambam says we don't accept that opinion. That's not the generally accepted opinion. We assume that there were some halachas l'moshe m'sinai that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Tefillin have to be square and they have to be black. And the Rambam gives you a list of 150 halachas of Moshe Sinai. Not such a long list. It's in Gansan on 2 pages. The whole list is a very short list. But most of the dinim are not halachas of Moshe Sinai. Most of the dinim are based on Midrash Tartan, the system that the Chachamim developed in every generation. So when we say that Kol Advam Eilu, whatever Talmud Vosik developed, was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't mean that it was actually given to Moshe Rabbeinu. We mean that the midas were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The system was given, and everything is included within the system. And that's the Pasha Pshat, that Moshe Rabbeinu was lit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a vision of Rabbi Akiva giving the shir, and he couldn't follow the shir. And then he had a Chalisha Sadas, and then a student asked Rabbi Akiva Akash, and he said, well, that's how'd you figure that one out? Rabbi Akiva said, I didn't figure it out, that's halacha Moshe Messina. So he realized that Rabbi Akiva is not making anything up from thin air. He's following a tradition, and everything was developed. That's the way we usually assume the Pshat is. Rabbi Akiva is called Adram Ho'ela. So I thought there's a famous kasha that the Velt asks. The Pasuk says that right before Matan Torah, Vayisatsu b'sachti sahar, the Bnei Yisrael were standing at the foot of the mountain. Pasuk Shat, they were standing at the foot of the mountain. And Pasuk Yud Zayin, in chapter Yutes. So the Chazal say the takti sahar means on the Har Sinai. Kadosh Baruch Hu picked up Har Sinai, Kofalim Har Kigis, and he threatened that he's going to kill us if we don't agree to be in the Kabbalah Torah. Don't take for us. So we pachad misa, we accepted the Torah. So the Gemara says in Shabbos that really, we can really dray our way, we could have drayed our way out of the obligation to keep all the mitzvahs. If that's takad pshat, we can dray our way out and say it was under duress and it's not binding. Until after the Nes Purim, so then Kima Vikiva, the Makabal Verotzen, so then from that time on, there's no way to dray your way out. But up until that time, we really could have tied our way out of it, that it's not binding because it was forced upon us. So the Akharinim all ask Akasha that the Gemara has a din of Cheskes Habatim and Bava Basra. Let's say you have a store. You sell something in the store, paintings, furniture, watches, whatever you sell in the store. So I come and I buy a watch, no problem. Everything is for sale. Well, everything has a price, everything is for sale. What if I come into your house and you have paintings and furniture? Nothing is for sale. I say, I'd like to buy it. You say, it's not for sale. So I give you $20,000, twice as much as what it's worth. Give you $50,000. I say, it's not for sale, I'm not interested. Then I pick up a gun. And I say, I want you to sell me the painting, and here's the 25. So I'll be happy to sell you the painting. Why not? So the Gemara says it was under duress. Is it good or not? So the Gemara says it's good. That's called Talmud. Why? Because sometimes when a person needs money, he'll sell his paintings and he'll sell his furniture. Sometimes when there's a big Shas HaTchak, something that's not for sale will all of a sudden become for sale. So here also there was a Shas HaTchak. Mali, if the Shas HaTchak was it's a reasonable thing. Now, if I hold the gun, I threaten to kill unless you give me a matona. That's not fair. So that's no das. That's bal korcha. So the matona is not fair. But if I paid you the correct amount and then you agreed, so it's reasonable. It's not so unreasonable. So then it's good. So makshim ha'olam, the deal that the Rabbanu Shalom forced us into was mitzvah gefela. The tariag mitzvahs are not that difficult to keep, and he promised the gevaldig schar. There's a gevaldig schar for the mitzvahs. So what's so bad if he forced us into it? That should be like Talmud Zavin Zvina Zvina, that it's a valid deal. That's how the Achronim ask Akasha. Why does the Gemara say Mikad Maidor Rabba Le'araisa, that until the days of the Nes Purim we can tighten our way out, that it's not binding? Why shouldn't you say that it should be binding because of the din of Talmud Zavin? Achronim talk about this Kasha a lot. So I was thinking the same Gemara says in Cheskes Habatim, what if a boy comes over to a girl? The boy's in love with the girl, and he's chalishing to marry the girl. The girl doesn't want. So he holds up a gun and he says, look here, either you marry me or I shoot you. She has no brain. He says, okay, she's going to marry him. So the Gemara says, Nikir Adin Deraisa, the Kiddushin is valid. He's not so modest, he's not so bad looking. A nice guy. She's looking for something bigger and better. Not that she says, can't stand him. She's looking for something a little different. But he's going to treat her nicely, he's going to support her, he's going to give her a share, and everything is going to be nice. So it's not unreasonable. It's not such an unreasonable shidduch. If it's unreasonable, then it's like Talyu v'yoyif, they threaten to kill him unless he gives him a ton. Talyu v'zav means that it's within reason. So let's say the boy threatens to kill a girl unless she agrees to marry him, and it wasn't so unreasonable. So then the Gemara says, Mikra din deraisa, the kiddushin is chal. But the Gemara says midrabbanon. That's one of the handful of cases. But the Gemara says atir rabbanon the kiddushim. Why? Who was the shaloi kahagen? Also ima shaloi kahagen. Since the boy did wrong, that's not right to force the girl into a shidduch. So also ima shaloi kahagen. So we cancel his kiddushim. We say afkir rabbanon kiddushim. What power do they have to be afkir the kiddushim? So the answer is called the mekadesh. I died to the rabbanon mekadesh afkir rabbanon kiddushim. So I was thinking maybe that's the pshat over here. What the Chazal said. But the Rabbanu Shlomo forced us into the deal at Har Sinai. So the Chazal understand, based on Pesukim in Tanakh, based on the whole Shir HaShir, many other Pesukim, that the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Knesset Yisrael is not some a business relationship, that we have to, like, the painter paints the house and I pay him the money, schar. Or the mechanic fixes my automobile and I paint him the money, or whatever, have something broken and he... have the maid vacuums the rug and does the dishes and washes the windows and I pay the money. It's not some a relationship like a chosh and mishpah. The whole Shir HaShim describes it like a chos and kala, like a husband and a wife. And the whole Maimon HaSinai is considered like a chasana, and all the minhagim of the chasana are all based on all of the different things that Maimon HaSinai. Yeah. So I thought that maybe that's the pshat over here.
That's why it's not.
Maybe the Maidor Rabbi Leraisa is that the Beis Din would have a right to be mafkir the kiddushin of the Rabban Shalom. If it would have just been a business deal, it would have taken them till you resolve in Zvina Zvina. The deal would be valid. But because it was a stama business deal, it was a case that the Tanakh calls it a case of marriage.
Yeah.
A marriage between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So maybe by marriage, there's the koyach of the Chachamim. If they want to, they can be mafkir the kiddushin. And that koyach of the Chachamim is also based on Kol HaDvarim Ho'eila. Kol means Kol Mashat Talmud Vasik Gosil Lechadish. Whatever good word in the later generations the Chachamim will want to come up with is also the Ratzon of the Rabban Shalom. So they really had the ability, if they would have wanted to, they could have declared Afkir Avani Kiddushim. They decided not to. And anyway, there was the Nes Purim. So after the Nes Purim, they left everything the way it was because they were Mekabel Beratzon. And maybe the Pshat that originally could have been a Maidor Rabbi Leraisa meant they could have used the principle of Afkinu to undo the kiddushin of the Rabban Shalom. But Lamaisa, we will metabol that anyway, brother. Yontif falls out on Erev Shabbos, when a Torah is permissible to cook on Yontif Shabbos. Why this should be so is a discussion in Sochem. Why should it be permissible when a Torah to cook? So that's a different discussion. We had a little bit in the Tesis on that base on the day. But here the Mishnah deals with the Din de Rabbanon. Mid de Rabbanon, you're not permitted to cook on Yontif Shabbos unless you made an Erev Tavshil. When you make the Erev Tavshil, then you're permitted to cook. So we learned the machlokes b'sham and b'silul what is necessary for the erev tavshil. So b'sham insists that you have to prepare in advance of erev yom tov, you have to prepare shnei tavshilim, put aside two tavshilim to cover Shabbos, and this is the erev tavshil. B'silul disagree and say that it's sufficient with tavshil echad. What is the reason for the b'sham that you need shnei tavshilim? So I think last time you must have mentioned that there is a mishnah in the end of Tainis. The Mishnah speaks about Suda Hamafsekis and Erev Tisha B'Av. And Erev Tisha B'Av, after Chatzos, the last Suda one has a special din of Suda Hamafsekis. So you're not permitted to have Basa, you're not permitted to have Yayin. We have a minig that we don't have Basa or Yayin the whole 9 days. On the Din HaMishnah, it's only forbidden during the Suda Hamafsekis. Then it says, even if he's having this milchig meal already, without the wine, just the coffee, and something else, not fleishiks, he's not permitted to have shnei tavshilim. Tavshil means raw fruits and vegetables you can have as much as you want. But cooked macholim, you can only have one tavshil, you can't have two. So let's say you have some cooked fish. So that's it. That's already the one tavshil. Let's say you have some cooked vegetables. So that's already the one tavshil. So you can't have two tavshilim. So shnei tavshilim, what is the prohibition of shnei tavshilim? What do they think about shnei tavshilim? Means a two-course meal. Achshivas. Achshivas, Yom Tov, Hashuvah. So that's what the Beis Shammai said, that's Yom Tov Dik, that's Shabbos Dik. So So you should set aside Shnei Tavshilin on air before Yom Tov, the Kovet Shabbos, to show that you have already prepared in advance for the Shuvah Shabbos. Shnei Tavshilin. The Silla said, yeah, Nachinami, the Shuvah Shabbos, Shuvah Yom Tov, should talk to consist of a minimum of Shnei Tavshilin. Mm-hmm. You should have soup, and you should have gefilte fish, and you should have kolation, you should have kugel, and cholent, and everything. Many tavshil, but you don't have to necessarily prepare more than one tavshil. You go yom before Yom Tov begins. So the erev tavshil is sufficient if you have one tavshil. That's the machlekes b'shan and b'shul. Now in the b'shul, so we pass from like the b'shul that it's not necessary to have shnei tavshil. So the tesis later, I think we probably must have started the tesis. The tesis says that we on Yud Zayin on the base. Omar Rabbi, there's a long Tosfos, so the Tosfos begins with the words Omar Rabbi, Hilchos Ketan Bidan, Alibet Beisil. There are different versions of what is the Machlekes B'Sham Beisil. So Rabbi says we pass along Beisilu the way it's presented in the Mishnah. The Ainu that the Machlekes Beisilu B'Sham is whether you need two Tavshil and one Tavshil. We pass along one Tavshil is sufficient. So Tosfos quotes the name Rabbi Natan that it depends what you plan to do. If you plan to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, if you plan to bake challahs, then you have to have pas. If you don't plan to bake, most balabasters today don't bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, they just cook. So if you plan to cook, then you need a tavshil. If you plan to bake and to cook, then you need a pas and a tavshil. That's the meaning that you put away a matzah with a hard-boiled egg. So that's based on this Rabbi Natan, that if you want to bake bread or cake or cookies, you need a matzah. And if you plan to cook any maichel on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you need a tavshil. So you have pasva tavshil. Where did Rabbi Natan get this idea from? He got it from the Gemara here on Tezvav on the base. The Gemara has, when you look into the Gemara, about 10 lines into the Gemara, the line begins with the word Rablaza. The line begins with the word Rablaza on that Tezvav on the base.
Einoifen
al-Hawafi. So, Omer Rablaza, Einoifen al-Hawafi, Ben Rashan al-Hamavushal. If you want to bake on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you have to have a matzah. If you want to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you have to have a tavshil. So Rabbi Natan says, that's what the Gemara quoted Reb Leizer, that's the pshat in Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel say tavshil echad as opposed to shnei tavshilin, that's if you want to cook. But if you want to bake, you want to cook only. But if you want to cook and you want to bake, then Reb Leizer says you need...
But in our Erev Tavshilin, we say that Lukishragil, that Muna, we list out everything that we possibly can do.
Right.
So this is our, this is also according to Reb Leizer, I mean, to include all these.
Yeah. Then everything is included, yeah.
Something with bake, something
Yeah, I mean, if you have something baked and something cooked, is that counted as Nei Tavshilin? I don't think so.
No.
I think the Basila say you have to have two Tavshilin of Tavshil. You have to have, if you, let's say, according to the Basila Mastama, if you want to bake and cook and do everything on Shabbos, yes, sir, you have no refrigerator. So you're gonna bake and cook everything on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So then the Beishamah would say you have to put away matzah. If you want to bake challahs and whatever, cake and cookies for Shabbos. And you have to have Shnei Tavshilin in addition in order to cook anything for Shabbos.
But the whole idea of Tavshilin, what's the magic of two Tavshilin as opposed to something that's baked and one thing that's cooked?
I think the two Tavshilin have the two courses in the meal. The bread, that's Bizmana Talmud. Until recently, every meal consisted of bread. That's the basic staple of all the meals, is bread. And then you fill in Shnei Tavshilin in the middle of the meal as the two courses for the meal. So the Rabbi Natan says that we pass them like this. Rabbi Leizer, is within the Beis Hillel. The other Rishonim said, well, what's our Meisah? Why should you pass them like Rabbi Leizer? The Gemara says in a few places, Rabbi Leizer was Shamutehu. We don't pass them like Rabbi Leizer because he was Shamuteh. Shamuteh, according to Taisus, means he was from the Beis Shammai. The Gemara needed the Abzayin and the Beis says, we rarely pass them like Rabbi Leizer. Because Reb Leizer Shamuteh, so Tosha says the pshat is Reb Leizer was from the Beis Shammai. So the Beis Shammai have different kind of shittas. Reb Leizer holds like the Beis Shammai. That's why he said you have to have pasul tavshil. We hold like the Beis Hillel. So why should we pasul like Reb Leizer all of a sudden? That's the time that all of Rishonim have. Rashi says that Reb Leizer Shamuteh means they put him in cheirim.
Gemara
says Tana b'shalach noy. There were many disputes between Reb Leizer and Reb Yishur. Reb Leizer and all the other Tanai. So he disagreed so much, and he told the others, "You have no right to disagree with me because I'm bigger than you." So they couldn't. They kept on disagreeing. They had him up. He was always outvoted. And he said, how can you argue with me? He has a bigger maser than him. So they didn't know how to deal with him. So they told him he should keep quiet, and he didn't. So they had no bread, they had to put him in chair. His own brother-in-law was the chief rabbi. So they didn't ask, put him in chair. So that's how Rashi learns. That Rav Leizer Shamuta means that they put him in Shamto. And that's why we don't pass him like him, because he was always outvoted. But whatever it is, that's the shaila, whether the Gis is Rabbi Elazar or the Gis is Rabbi Eliezer. Mm-hmm. See, in our Gemara, it says printed Mikan Omer Rabbi Elazar. Yeah. Elazar is a different Tana. Elazar is not Shamutehu. But it says on the side that the more popular Gis is Rabbi Elazar. The Chaim Uchaf, the Teshuvah, Lekamon, Yud, Zayin, Omer, Beis. That's this Teshuvah. The Teshuvah discusses, do we pass him like a blazer or not? So Teshuvah gives as a mashal, on the bottom of that long Teshuvah, on Yud, Zayin, Omer, Beis, they have an asterisk. They tell you to look in the related Teshuvah in Avodah Zarah, Lamed, Zayin, Omer, Beis. In Avodah Zarah, that Lamed, Zayin, the Mishnah lists off all the things that were manufactured by a Nachri that are Asa Bachila and Mutta Bahanoah, and all the things that are Asa Bachila Ubahanoah. For example, Stam Yenam. The Stam Yenam in the days of the Tanaim is Asa Bahanoah. This man has said, the Ramah says, if the Nachri owed me thousands of dollars and he pays me, and he goes bankrupt, and the only way he can pay me, let's say a liquor shop, the only way he pays me, he gives me thousands of dollars worth of wine, of a tray for wine. So this man is that I'm most makel, but Malcolm Hefstid Godel, so he's makel that it's mutter bahano. But
this
man
is that he can take it and sell it to another.
He can take it and sell it to a god. Yeah, not allowed to drink it. It's also bashti, but it's mutter bahano. Why? Because today most of the average nachri is not going to be menasach yain lavo dezor. The Gemara says there were two reasons why they forbid sham yainim. One is that it may lead to intermarriage, to chasnus. And the other one was, if it's only because of intermarriage, then it would only be asa bachila, asa bishti, it would be mutter bahano. But because there was an additional concern that it may have been menasach it l'avodah zarah, but that's why they said, if the takim menasach l'avodah zarah, then if the kluv is akum, then it's also bano. But that's why they declared that all stam yenam means you don't even know if he touched it. Stam means you don't know one way or the other whether he touched it, so it should really be suffix. So here they asked it b'tar that it's also bano. So the Ramah says based on Gemara, what if it's a nachri? So we know that he's not menasech yain l'avodizot. Most of the nachum today are not. Some of them are, but most of them are not menasech yain l'avodizot. He used to have for years and years facing the dormitory of the yeshiva. He used to be on Laurel Hill Terrace. He used to be on nachum. He used to be menasech yain every day l'avodizot. The boys can see through the window. On the east side you have, when you're shopping on the east side you can see. They sometimes have churches there, but they're mamish menasech yain l'avodizot in front of your eye. They're still around, but most of the average Nachri is not the Rogel at all. Which?
For church, it's better and worse.
Achreinim say, when you pour wine in front of an Avodah Zarah, then it's called Tekruvus Avodah Zarah. So Tekruvus Avodah Zarah has no bipul. Even if you get a Nachri to declare, I don't believe in this Avodah Zarah, I don't believe in anything, the whole thing is a joke by me. The din is that the Kruvus Adazar will remain also Bano. But the Poskim say that in a church, in a Catholic church, where they use wine and they use wafers and they, according to their gluten, according to their emune, the wine becomes the blood of Osahuish and the wafers become the flesh. It becomes the flesh and blood. So the Poskim say that then it's Mamash Avodizar. It's not the Kruvus. Mamash Avodizar, which turns out to be a Kula, not a Chuma. It turns out to be a Kula. That if you get another guy who says, I don't believe in the whole thing as far as I'm concerned, the whole thing is a joke, so then it'll become mutter bano. If a Jew already picked it up and it belongs to me, then it doesn't help if the guy is going to be mevatel avodah zarah. Because man, a Jew wasn't zeche in it yet, so the din is that avodah zarah shel nochri means that it was worshipped by a non-Jew, and that it's not in the possession of a Jew, it's in the possession of a non-Jew. Both, you have to have both. Avodah Shal Nachri does lend itself to Bitul. If you get another guy, either the same guy says, I no longer believe in it, or get another guy who never believed in it. He holds that he's God. How can that be God? He holds that's Avodah Zarah. He doesn't hold from this one, whatever. Whether he changes his mind or he never believed in it, it does make a difference. If you get a Nachri to declare, I don't believe that this is an Avodah Zarah, so it'll be Mutter Bano.
Kamelech had in his army no Agoy who was Mevatel all Avodah Zarah.
He's Agiti. He took with him a Nachri, and whenever he would conquer the Goyim, he would take the Avodah Zarah. We always had Kesev Zavda, it would be very precious metal. So So he would have his nochri be mevatel the avodah zarah, and then he would take it and set it aside for the Beis Hamikdash. So all of the precious metals that he conquered in all of his victorious battles and all the wars, so he had with him a nochri. The Gemara says in Masechet Zavedah, Hite Agiti, it was always mevatel all the avodah zarah.
Isn't there a school of Rishon that Holy Christianity is not avodah zarah?
So the question is, it avodah zarah for a nochri? For a Jew, for sure, it's avodah zarah. Is it avodah zarah for a nochri? Because there's a Tosfos in Sanhedrin and Daf Samach Gimel. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to make a shutvus with a non-Jew. You should never enter into a partnership with a non-Jew or any business deals, because you may get involved in a sichsuch later on. So what's so bad about that? And then you go to court, and then you'll only be able to win. And let's say you're telling the truth, and you know that he's telling a lie. And the judge will paskin, the goyish judge will paskin that you only win if you swear. And then the goyish judge will want, or he'll tell the goyish that you'll only be potter, the goy will only be potter if he'll swear. And the goy will be swearing the shame of it is earth. So the Gemara says, and that's an issa, that's my avera. Lo yisham al picha, shmosem achim los askiru, you're not allowed to mention the shame of it is earth. Lo yisham al picha, you're not allowed to be the gorim, that even a goy should mention the shame of it is earth. The Tosfos says that Bizman Azeh, that the Goyim swear in name of their Kedoshim. They swear by God and by Saint Nicholas, or by Saint whatever saint they mention. The Shemus HaKedoshim, the Shmos HaKedoshim, in the name of the holy saints that they have. So Tosfos says that's not Shem Avodah Zarah, that's not Nishba B'Shem Avodah Zarah. And then Tosfos says, and even if he will swear in the name of the Avodah Zarah, Tosfos thinks that there's no prohibition, because lohuzeru al hashituf. So what exactly does that mean? So the Ramon in Yerideya understood that that's what the Ramon, some major poskim, understood. The Shach quotes that Ramon. It's Ramon the dark emotion. It's not really in Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch quotes a little bit. It's unclear. So the Shach in Yerideya quotes the Ramon the dark emotion, understood the Tosfos that the prohibition of avodah zarah is different by Jews and by non-Jews. If we believe in the invisible God in heaven, but we also believe that God has partners who do who run part of the business for him, so for as far as we're concerned, that's avodah zarah. But as far as a non-Jew is concerned, he believes in the invisible God in heaven above, and he also believes that God has a couple of partners, so the poskim understood that that's what Tosfos meant, that there's no Issur avodah zarah as far as a goy is concerned. As far as a Jew is concerned, it is an Issur avodah zarah. As far as a goy is concerned, that's not avodah zarah. And many disagreed, and they said, how can it be? That's ridiculous. Meanwhile, the definition of avodah zarah is different for Jews and for non-Jews. Meicha Teisa. Where did Teisa come up with such an idea? When we look in the Rambam, the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he describes, Osu Chalikro B'Shem Hashem, in the days of Enosh, that's when people started to worship avodah zarah. So the Rambam describes that was the original avodah zarah, that they believed in the invisible God, like their forefathers, like God the Marishan believed in the invisible God. Plus, they believe that God has a couple of
shifts. Gave koiches to the others.
Koiches, in other words, a partnership.
Choice, yeah.
So the Rambam describes that was the original of it, is all that it's cheaper. So that's what many later Achrayim say, that they don't believe that that's pshat and Tosfos at all. So they should say they're Achrayim held like that it is a complete mistake, what they misunderstood Tosfos to say. That Tosfos meant a different thing. A goy is not permitted to worship avodah zarah. There's not a lot of worship b'shitu. But Taisha is not talking about worshiping, they're talking about swearing the shame of it is earth. So Taisha says it's not a lifnei iver if I will cause the goy to swear in the name of the invisible God and to swear by the Son Saint. And the Holy Ghost also. To swear by the saints, Taisha says that's not my yisa.
Yeah.
But even if he's going to swear by the Father, mm-hmm. the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Taisha says, what, it's a lifnei iver on my part? It's not a lifnei iver. The goy is not allowed to worship avodah zarah, but to swear in the name of avodah zarah, that's not an issa for a goy.
That's what Tosfos means. Yishuma means not just to worship, means also to say it, to mention it by the goy.
I'm not allowed to cause the goy to swear in the name of an avodah zarah, but if he's swearing b'shituf, he swears in the name of God and in the name of avodah zarah as well. So Tosfos says that's not included in the issa. But these G'dolei Achrayim, the later Achrayim, said that Tosfos never meant to say that the goy is not prohibited from worshipping avodah zarah b'shita. That's the question, whether Christianity is avodah zarah as far as a non-Jew is concerned.
Kuzari speaks about that they got to a certain madrega that they believe better than what they what others believe. The others believe on idols, which were completely stone, and at least they believe in
different madregas. Okay,
yeah.
There are madregas and madregas, and I've okay. The Rambam writes in one place, what a wonderful blessing it is that Christianity spread throughout the world, so that when the Melech HaMashiach will come, people will understand what's going on. At least they will have heard a concept of Messiah. They'll understand what the words mean. Like this, no one would even understand Mechala what it's all about. Okay. Yeah. So there in the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah lists off the things that are also, what food items or what items are you not permitted to buy from a goy because they're also b'achila, and what items are you not allowed to buy from a goy because they're also b'hanoah. So it says to the goyim used to worship Avodah Zarah. They used to skin an animal alive and cut out a hole by the neck. And that was a symbol. If you buy a whole skin of an animal with the neck cut out, or with the heart cut out, they used to cut out the heart like this in a circular shape. So if you buy a skin of an animal and by the heart there's a circle, so that's a symbol that that's also b'hanoah, that's the kula. So that you're not allowed to buy, it's also b'hanoah. And yayin nesach estam yainim is also b'hanoah. And vinegar that was made from stam yainim is also b'hanoah. Whole bunch of things that are also b'hanoah. Vasa b'chol of hashtetzach is also b'hanoah. You don't need a mishnah to mention that. Then it says other things are also b'achila muta b'hanoah. So what's an example? Also b'achila muta b'hanoah. So it says you're not allowed to buy fish from the goyim because let's say filet fish. If it doesn't have the fins and the scales, me or them, maybe slipping your tray for fish. It's very hard. Even the experts can't tell the difference between a kosher fish. Sometimes can't tell the difference between a kosher fish and a tray for fish. A lot of them are exactly identical. After you move the skin, it's impossible to identify. So in that Mishnah with the fish, with other things, it says bishalakum and tasakum, bread that was baked by goy, you're not allowed to eat. Let's say my next door neighbor makes Italian bread, delicious Italian bread, and I'm watching the way he makes it. I see all the ingredients are absolutely kosher, and he used a brand new pan, and there's no treifas, and there's no bli of treifas. Everything's kosher, mahadrin, mahadrin. So the thing is, I'm not allowed to eat the Italian bread. What's wrong? Pasakon, because it may lead to intermarriage. Like it says in the beginning of Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu ran away from Paro. So he ran away to Midian, and he met the seven daughters, and he helped them. So it says, Yisro sends the daughters back. He says, who was the one who helped you out? So he says, Kirena lovi yoichalochem, invite him that he should eat by us. So Rashi says, Shem the Yisachas nikem, invite him that he should eat bread. Make a shidduch, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the way to the man's heart is through his stomach. If you give pasachim, if you give bishalakim, so there's a chashash of chasnus. He'll enjoy the bread so much he'll want to have a kikes. He'll want to marry the girl, and then he'll stay there. So the chachamim prohibited pasachim and bishalakim mitam chasnus. That's what the Gemara says. But mitam chasnus that may lead to intermarriage is genuk, that it should be asa b'achila. You don't have to asa b'ano. So we know that there is a difference between pasakum and bishalakum. Pasakum was exera kaduma. Tyson says that was already in the beginning of the Kufas Vaisheni. They already had an Easter of pasakum. The bishalakum was nigza later, towards the end of the Vaisheni, right before the Churban Abayis. Then the Magoiz of the bishalakum is shumchas. Pasakum was earlier. To the extent the Gemara thought that pasakum was an Easter deraisa. The Gemara finally says, no, it's not. Why? How do they think it's an Issa Deraisa? They were just going through it 100, 200 years before, so they didn't remember. The Taisa says, Asinu that Pasakum is Nigza Midoris Kadmainim. It was always awesome. From the beginning of the Baisheni, hundreds of years before. And the Bishalakum is Nigza later. And there are slight differences between the two. Take, for example, Taisa mentions on the next daf that this long crisis on Tezayin and the day. Let's say if you why is it forbidden to have the pasakum? Why are you not permitted to eat the bread that was baked by the next door neighbor? I may fall in love with his daughter. And even if he's a galach and he doesn't have any daughters that we know of.
So invite others to daughters.
So it says in Shulchan Aruch, let's say you're not allowed to drink the wine. Years ago the monks used to make all the wine. So you're not allowed to drink wine because of chasnus, he may marry his daughter. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote the Rashba, but the galachim have no daughters that they speak of. So how can you say that it's also? So it says that the Rashba is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch. No, it's a lotzug rabban. Even if this guy happens not to have any daughters, he doesn't have any children at all. It's still prohibited pasach and bishalakum because of chasnus. So what happens though if this fellow, this nachri, is the baker for the whole community? We know that all the ingredients are always kosher. I think Italian bread is always kosher. I think they never put in any trace ingredients. So let's say he makes Italian bread and he sells it to everybody in the neighborhood. The point, why should I fall in love with his daughter more than anybody? Let's say he has a lot of seven daughters. Usually he has seven daughters. So why should I fall in love with his daughter? Mistamah Goy will fall in love with his daughter. I'll marry a Jewish girl. Mistamah Goy is a boy. We'll marry his daughter's Mechet Pesach. So that's what we paskin, paspalter is mutter. If it's a baker who sells to the whole community, if it's my next door neighbor who made this Italian bread, there's a shaykhiz, there's a hiskars, my next door neighbor. Private, he doesn't make it for the public. He does me a taiva chesed, he's making the bread for me, or even if he made it for himself, and then he gives it to me. So it's also, that's a chashash of his carbis, and may lead to intimate. But if he's the public baker, he bakes for the whole community, so then we say that tas palter is mutter. That's what Taisus discusses over here. So Taisus assumes that this kula palter is only applicable to bread. It doesn't apply, let's say, if there's a restaurant, and we know that everything is strictly kosher. Let's say they don't have, they're absolutely vegetarian, they don't even have fish there. No shayla trace of fish, trace of flesh, nothing, it's only vegetables, fruits and vegetables. So even though there's no chashash of trefes, and even though it's a palter, they sell to everybody in the neighborhood, nonetheless the din is that bishul akum is also. The heter of palter only applies to pas and doesn't apply to bishul. That's what Taisus discusses. What if I'm going to buy the bread from the baker, but the baker mixes in eggs? It's not water challah. He mixes it by the yekas. They like to eat the water challah. Let's say it's not water challah. Let's say they have eggs in. The person says, fine, there's a heter pas palter on the bread, but the eggs that they mixed in, what happened to the bishul akam on the eggs? The eggs are very bishul, and there's no kula palter. So Taisus answers based on the Gemara. The Gemara says here on the bottom line on Tezainam and Aleph, going over to Tezainam and Beis. So the Gemara says that just like there's a concept of Iker and Tofel by Brichas HaNehenin, let's say you're eating a baked potato with butter on it. So if you eat butter alone, you say Sha'achal. If you eat a potato alone, you say Hu'adam. What if you have butter with the potato, or you have butter with salt? So you don't say Sha'achal on the salt. If someone wants to eat salt alone, he says Sha'achal. If he wants to eat potatoes alone, he says Hu'adam. If he's eating potatoes with butter or with margarine, potatoes with salt, he don't say two brachas. Whenever you have an ikra and a tofel, so you say brocha nikra, you don't say on the tofel. So just like there's a concept of ikra and tofel by Brichas HaNehenin, so too the Gemara applies the concept of ikra and tofel to bishul akum. If you have, let's say, two foods that were cooked together, the nachri cooked two things together. Bishul akum doesn't apply to everything. Some foods are not subject to bishul akum. The Gemara says, let's say you have some kind of a food which could have been eaten raw. Even if the Nochri wouldn't have cooked it, it could have been eaten raw.
Apples.
Maichel, which is Nechel, Kamoshu Chai, apples, there's many vegetables like that, which could be eaten even without having cooked it at all. So even if the Nochri goes out and he cooks it, there's no prohibition of Bishul Akum. So what if the Nochri cooked it together with other things which should be subject to the din of Bishul Akum? But the Iker of the Tafshil is really this thing, not the other one. So the Gemara says, you go bust the Iker, and you ignore the Tafel. So Taisus says, just like the Gemara says, you follow the Iker, and you ignore the Tafel with respect to Bishul Akum, when both things are foods. Bishulim, so thing, the eggs with the bread. You're not going to say Shahakal and Hamoitzi. You're just going to say Hamoitzi on the bread. The eggs in the bread, whether the eggs are mixed in with the bread, kneaded in, or the eggs are ungeshmiert on the surface, doesn't make a difference. It's an ikir and a tuffel, so the eggs are the tuffel. So even though the eggs should have been subject to the issue of bishul akum, but nonetheless, since the bread is mutter because we pass can pass palter is mutter, so even the eggs go along also.
I never said the whole process of the baking process.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes a difference, but it's still called bishul akum. Bishul akum versus pasakum depends whether it's hamaitzi or some other broth.
Okay, so
let's say cookies. Taisus says, just quoting Shulchan Aruch, that Taisus says, the cookies that are made by, what's the name of the Goyisha company that makes the
cookies? Entenmann's,
yeah. It's a Goyisha company. So isn't it bishul akum?
Mm-hmm.
You don't say hamaitzi, whatever you don't say hamaitzi, it should be bishul akum. The Taisa says, and that's why we pass him, that since if you eat a ton of cookies, you say Hamoitzi, if you kaver suda on the cookies, then you do say Hamoitzi. So even though you don't plan to eat a ton of it, it's labeled as pas. The pas palter is mutra. That's what they have to realize on. Pas palter is mutra. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you shouldn't eat pas palter on Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Yeah.
So the Yentiman should say on the label, may not be eaten, this may not be eaten on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The pretzels are a problem. The pretzels probably, even if you eat a ton of them, you probably would not say hamoisi. It doesn't have a tzuris hapas at all.
Pas palta with hashgacha, does it change the status?
No.
Pas palta with a hashgacha? No. Just means that the ingredients are kosher.
It's not like in a restaurant, they put in a fire in the oven when they bake it.
If you have a restaurant, so then you have a problem of bishul. You have a problem of bishul in yeshiva, and all the yeshivas also, not just the restaurants, all over the world. And I can tell also all the yeshivas and all the restaurants, they're all run by goyim because they're much less salaried, yet less expensive. So the heter that everybody relies on is the Ramo. The Ramo says that if the Jew turned on the fire, the Gemara has the heter by pas, not by bishul. The Gemara says, if the Jew turned on the fire, even though the goy needed the dough and he put in the bread into the oven, so the real baking was done by the goy, not by the Jew. But if the Jew did shigiras hatanur, the Jew hit the lit the oven, so that's enough to remove the prohibition of pasakum. So the Gemara Grad only says it by pas and never says it by tafshul. So in the Rishonim there's a machlokes whether that cooler applies also to bishul. The Mechaber paskins representing all the svardim that it does not apply to bishul. And the Ramos make on that. The Ramos says that by the Ashkenazim they name on that cooler even applies to bishulakim. That if the Jew lights the fire, even though the goy does all of the cooking, so that's enough to take off the yisur of bishulakim. So that's what everybody relies on. The shail is, but in the yeshiva they have svardim also. Mm-hmm. The yeshiva have svardish students also. So how are the svardish students allowed to eat there? So they brought this to Dr. Lim's attention. So Dr. Lane got all nervous about it. So he asked Rabban Soloveitchik, what do you say? So he said he remembers when his father was alive, Ramosha Soloveitchik was alive, there were two Sephardish students, and they had the same issue then, that the cook was a goy then also. The ones who did the actual cooking in the yeshiva cafeteria years ago was also a goy. And he remembers his father was matirid, he doesn't remember why. And he gave up. He suggested three different suggestions. One, and Eretz Yisrael, the Shai Lotha, Chacham Avad Yosef has a tshuva about it. Are the Sfardim permitted to eat in restaurants where the cooking is done by non-Jews, but the Jew lights the oven and they're relying on their Ramos, but they don't hold from these Ramos. The Ramos, that's for Ashkenazim, not for Sfardim. So Chacham Avad has a tshuva. Well, he's makel based on some kind of a svek, and others are not so keen about it. Others hold there's no svek. They hold that Sfardim don't hold from any of these Ramos, so it's not even a suffix. But the Ashkenazim, that's what the Ashkenazim rely on this kula of the Ramos, which is based on the Balei HaTosfos, the Shita of Chachmei Ashkenaz. That if the Shgiras HaTanur, if the lighting of the fire was done by a Jew, that removes the Yisra of the Shulam.
On Shabbos, Pretzels
should be a problem all week long, not only on Shabbos.
A lot of pretzels have all you, Goyish companies. Yeah.
Maybe Mashgiach lights the fire.
That is possible. Mashgiach lights the fire. Then you would have to have a Mashgiach pleading. Wow. Maybe that would be extremely expensive. That Mashgiach lights the fire. This I don't know. That's the question. Is it considered Oil al Shulchan Malachim? A lot of the issues of Bishulakum, the Poskim HaMeko, are based on sex fakers. If there is Svaris Lahoka, there's one opinion, there's one Girsa in the Gaonim, in the Gemara, they had a Girsa in the Gemara, that the only time Bishulakum is also is if the nature of the food is such that it would sometimes be eaten the Lapis Boyas HaPas. You would eat it together, bread with fish, a bread with flesh, a bread with vegetables. You would eat it together. Years ago, that was a common practice. People would eat bread with everything in the whole meal. So let's say bread with pretzels.
Why should pretzels eat bread be worse than cookies? Why is pretzels worse than cookies?
I think cookies, if you eat enough of cookies, then you say how much if you're kaveh sudan.
By pretzels.
But pretzels, I don't think so.
Let's say if you eat farina,
even if you eat a ton of it, you never say hamoitzi. It does not have a true sapa. It's a svar that you always say hamoitzi. A svar that pashtus, you should always say hamoitzi on pizza. I don't think that pretzels have it. It depends how fat the pretzels are. If they're very stringy pretzels, very thin, the fat pretzels could be that they are hamoitzi. But the thin pretzels...
Does Mashiach have to be on the premise when it lights the fire? Because I once heard that they...
have a way that the chair is not placed over the phone.
Yeah, by dialing. You can do that too. Some
those factories.
Send a signal.
Yeah, that's possible. It doesn't have to be there. If Mashiach comes on the side by remote control, is also good. Yeah. But sometimes they make in Bishul Akum the Poskim are make based on Tzeirufei Shittas Alav. So the Orach HaShulchan Poskim is like this straight out. He Poskim is like the Goyim, that whatever is not Nechal, whatever is not eaten, Lapis Boyes HaPaz, even let's say potato chips, you would never make Yisrael HaRusu who ate potato chip sandwiches. But normal people, Baruch Hashem, he got married, he has children, but normal people don't eat potato chips with bread. Or let's say chocolate, Hershey's chocolate. Hashalach and Bishol Akum. So the Goyim hold there's no problem of Bishol Akum because chocolates are never eaten together with bread. It's a mash, candies.
Chocolate
bread
now, yeah.
Chocolate bread. Yeah, that's like butter, Hastings.
Yeah.
Spread, but not a chocolate bar, let's say. So let's say you have a chocolate bar, or you have potato chips, or you have pretzels. You would never eat that or lapis by yourself. You would never eat it together with bread. So the Orach HaShulchan Paskin, that's enough to remove Bishul Akum because that's what the Goyim said. So most of the other Paskin do not accept that kula, but they mitzarf that together with another kula. So others say that it's not Orach HaShulchan Malachim. The Gemara says that in order to have an Issa Bishul Akum, it has to be some Michael which would be served by the on the Shulchan HaMelech. So that's the question, what does that mean? So most assume Orach HaShulchan Malachim means a Michael that you would serve in a royal banquet. If you have a chasana, would you serve potato chips?
Oh, they serve bread sticks.
Bread sticks.
No,
yeah, but you wouldn't serve pretzels, let's say. You wouldn't serve pretzels or potato
like
chips,
bread,
that,
no?
You, that you wouldn't get.
No, bread sticks that doesn't have shulchan
pas.
It's like a pretzel, but they call it bread
sticks.
Long, the short, and the long one.
Yeah. I mean, bread sticks is oil or shulchan malachim.
Yeah.
Bread sticks is oil. The child is it pas? Is it pas or not? I don't know. It could be that it would be amos. Could be that it would be. What? I don't know.
No, it's not
anyway, so this is a shaila. Is this called Eina Oil Al Shulchan Malachim? Let's say on potato chips and chocolate bars. Would you say it's not Oil Al Shulchan Malachim because one would never serve this in the middle of a royal banquet? So it's not such a Bekova Dick and Michael? Is that the definition of Eina Oil Al Shulchan Malachim? Or does it mean differently? Eina Oil Al Shulchan Malachim means that a king or a queen would never eat it. It's such a cheap Michael, they would never eat it. Potato chips, they would eat. Why
yeah,
not? They wouldn't eat it in a royal banquet, but they would eat potato chips.
Yeah,
they would, what they have to suffer just because they're king and the queen, not allowed to enjoy pretzels and potato chips. Yeah.
Chocolates are expensive.
The diver has a Hershey.
Yeah,
but the fancy other people make chocolates. You go to a bar, you can see fancy chocolates.
Yeah. Have all kinds of nash, yeah. But avoid to give nash, yeah. But let's say in a royal banquet in the stomach, you wouldn't give it. And his carbis usually comes from eating a meal together. So many times in the Bishul Akum issue, the poskim in Europe will mitzaref different snifim lehokal, even if you don't rely on one heter, it will be mitzaref a few heterim together. So it could be that on the pretzels. We paskin, yeah, there is a machlokes of Rishonim. We paskin like the Tesis, that the kula of palter only applies to pas, does not apply to bishul.
What's the rule?
Canned food is not a problem. Canned food is a problem. No, so they only give a hashgacha if there is a sex seeker, if there are two snif in the hakam. So one snif in the hakam is the fact that it's made in a factory which is extremely impersonal. How am I going to marry his daughter? Let's say I enjoy very much these canned
pineapple
beans, a pineapple, whatever, and I'm chalishing to find out who the guy is in order to marry his daughter. Till I'm going to find out it's canned in Pago, let's say, canned in Philippine Islands. Till I'm going to come to the Philippine Islands, find out where the factory is, and find out who the guy is. Mustami, he was already fired, and he moved to a different country already by now. So that's what some poskim from the 1700s, the Chidor quotes, some Gedolim held, that even though there's no kula of palter by Bishul Akum, there's no kula of palter like there is by Pas Akum, but if it's so
impersonal
that you don't even know who it is, there's mamish no shaychus whatsoever. By the restaurant, at least we all know who the chef is. But Mechatez, why should I marry his daughter? Mistam, I'll marry a Jewish girl and his daughter. I'll marry a Goyish boy. Why should I fall in love with his daughter? Everybody eats the food from the restaurant. So there, where it's a talpes, so we are mekel on the pas, and we're machmer on the bishul. But if it's so impersonal, like in a factory, we don't even have any shaykhs with each other. It'll be very hard for me to find out who the guy is, the klal. So there was a svara to be mekel on that. So that opinion was never accepted. Rav Moshe holds mikra din, it's really mutter, and he makes a little bit of a sniff.
Yes, another sniff.
Yeah, he just says. He just adds, in his tshuva, he says, it depends if the style of cooking that they use in the factory is exactly the same as you do at home. The only thing is that their pots are 100 times bigger, so then he says you have to aser it. Then he says you should be machmet to aser it. But let's say the style of cooking is totally different. It's in ganz a different kind of cooking. It's not that it's a pot
steam.
With a fire.
Steam.
It's something. Steam is another machlekes with the steam. There's an isa bishul akum if it's done by steam. That's another machlekes. Achranim many are mekel on that alone. Chacham Avad Yosef is mekel on that alone. If food is cooked by steaming, so he holds that there's no bishul akum on that. But the Yerushalmi says, the Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Yerushalmi that there's no bishul akum if it's ayidei ishun. Ishin means that it's smoked. So smoking is not
like
the same as steaming.
Yeah. No.
Steam means that you cooked it in water, except instead of having water, so you shot the live steam on it. So steam is a machlokes and achrayim, but the steaming is saying kitar. Kitar is steaming. Is that the same as ishun? Oh, no, it's more common than ishun. Anyway, so getting back over here, so we know from that gemara, in this case it's Yud Zayin on the base. The case is quotes this rabbi in the Talmud that when you make an erev tapshulin, he claims you have to have pas v'tapshul. Even within the Beis Hillel, he says you have to have, if you plan to bake and to cook, you want to bake cake or cookies or whatever, and you want to cook also flesh and fish and soup and everything on Yom Tov and Shabbos, the rabbi in the Talmud is mechadesh that you have to have pas and tapshul. So he says he got this idea from Maseches Avodah Zarah. In Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, they say Rabbi Natan got his idea from Maseches Avodah Zarah, where we see that there are distinctions, several distinctions between Pasakim and Bishalakim. Pasakim was a Gzera Keduma, and Bishalakim was a late Gzera, and Pasakim is more Kal. One should have thought Fakir, it's like Gzera Keduma was in the days of the beginning of the Baishan, should be more Chomer. So the Gemara says no, that Pas is more Kal because Al Alechem Yechyeho Adam. Statement Pasik, Loy Al Alechem Levado Yechyeho Adam. But the Rishonim have a Melitza. Al Alechem Yechiyodim. That years ago, until very recently, the main part of the meal, main staple of the meal, used to be the bread. So that's why they thought there had to be mekel more on bread. So the heter apalter only applies to pas and doesn't apply to bishul. So you see from Masechet Avodah Zarah, with respect to the two prohibitions of bishul akum, pas akum, that there's a difference. So this led the Rabbi Natan to have this einfall. That we do pass him like Rab Lazer over here, even though you should say Rab Lazer Shamute. What does he have to do with us? No. He insists, no, we pass him like him. You have to have two, you have to have pass and tafshil. And in the tafshil, and within the tafshil, that's the machlegis b'sham and b'sil. So b'sham say you got to have shnei tafshilim, that's a suda chashuva. Shnei tafshilim b'sil say, no, it's enough pass for tafshil, one tafshil. So let's say this man is there, we're machmir, the Balei HaTosfos say the hold the Rabbi Natan is not right. That was the end of the Tosfos. The Ria Zokin was the nephew of the Rabbi Natan. The Tosfos Yud Zayinim and Beis. On the last 10 lines, Tosfos quotes, you learn the hero of the Rabbi Yitzchak, the Ria Zokin holds Rabbi Natan is not right. And he says, just not so, we don't pass like Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer Shamut, they shine. Man, however, he says, in the end, the last two lines of the Tosfos, Mikol Mokoyim Amari. But even though he disagrees with his uncle, the Rabbi Natan, Lama'ani Libi, Lava Divrei Doidi. He didn't have the guts, the chutzpah to go halacha lamaisa against the Rabbi Natan. So that's why everybody makes an erev tafshilin with the hardball bag with the maisa. However, the Mishneh Berurah points out, Bamed Vamamurim, if you plan to bake, then there's what to discuss. Whether you do chayshish for Rabbi Natan or not chayshish. But if you don't plan to bake for chlal, you're just going to cook. All the cake and cookies and the challahs, everything is already prepared. The only thing the Baal Bastah is going to make is, he's going to make kugel and soup
meat.
And chicken and fish. Warm up, okay. But she's not going to bake anything that's going to be hamotzi or mezonos or anything. So then even the Rabbi Natan would be mekel. So you don't need the pas. All you need is the tash. So the man said, that's what we do. To warm up challah. If you want to warm up challah on Yom Tov or Shabbos, would you require
Yom Tov? Not on Shabbos.
On Shabbos, on Yom Tov or Shabbos, would you need the pas v'tavshil? It's not cooking yet. Min atere, it's
ain't
afi achar afi, but min rabban you're not allowed to. So you need the erev tavshilin. Maybe yet. Oh, interesting. Maybe then, if you do plan to. To warm up your
Shabbos. But you can put Shabbos. You can put Shabbos also.
It's not going to stay warm for Shabbos if you warm it up on Yom Tov.
No.
But still, let's say, you take it out of the freezer and you want to warm it up. Let's say you want to warm it up on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So maybe then you would need the pas v'tavshil.
What's the thing in Shabbos? Can you allow to put a challah on a blech to warm it up? Shabbos.
On top of a blech. Take it out of the refrigerator, put it on top of a blech. I think it's awesome in the Rabbana. I think that's the din of
Why are you allowed to take dry meat? Dry meat you can put it. That's only if the meat was on the stove before Shabbos.
Okay, you have to have the Tnoi HaChazor. You have to have the Heter HaChazor. So that's the Machlagis B'Sham HaMisul. Okay, that's the Machlagis B'Sham HaMisul. We mentioned, I think, last time that the Mishnah Berurah says that L'chatchil, you shouldn't take matzah with a hard-boiled egg. It should be a matzah with a hard-boiled egg that were baked and cooked on Erev Yom Tov, the same Erev Tavshilin, or the same Shabbos. He's not sure about that, whether the same Shabbos or the same Erev Tavshilin. You take a matzah from a box of matzahs, it was baked a long time ago. Yeah, it was baked way before. So, but the Yevid, though, he shows something more. But the Yevid, if you took some pasa tavshil that was cooked or baked way before, so the Yevid, you could use it as an Erev Tavshilin. But the more correct is to do it, to use something that was baked specifically for that purpose on Erev Yom Tov. Then the Mishnah has a Chiddush. It says, V'shovin, Mishnah and Tezvav on the base. They both agree. The Beisham and the Beisil have a machloikas, what do you need? Tavshil Efer, Shnei Tavshilin. So in this case, they should have had the Zelda machloikas. What if you have Dag, Ubeitza Sha'olov? Sometimes the Balabasta makes fried fish. And she has eggs together with the fried fish, all together, on top and on the side. So if you have Dag, Ubeitza Sha'olov, do you consider that Tavshil Echod or Shein Tavshil? So let's say on Erev Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av, you have the Chatzos and the Sudam of Sekis, you're going to have a Dag, Ubeitza Sha'olov. You have two macholim that were cooked together. The dog and the beitza will cook together, and the beitza is to enhance the flavoring of the dog. It's not that the two separate, unrelated macholim. It's really like an ikar and a tofel in a certain sense. The dog is the ikar and the beitza is the secondary. But you can see that tavshil echad or shnei tavshil. So from this Mishnah, it sounds like the ikar adin, dog and beitza shalav is really only tavshil echad. And it really should be the zelba machlek is b'sham and b'silu. That the Shammai hold you need Shnei Tavshil, and the Silva hold Tavshil Echad is good. But it says, Vishavin, they're both maskim, the Beis Shammai and Mekel, the dog of Beis Shalav, we're Mekel to treat it like Shnei Tavshil. Sounds like it's a special cooler. That's how the Beir Agro points out, and Hilchas Erev Tisha B'Av. That's from the Loshen HaMishneh, because otherwise, what? The Mefarshim ask on the Mishneh, what state of it? Shavin, they all agree, if you have dog of Beis Shalav, that is Shnei Tavshil, if I state of Shnei Tavshil. The dog and the base, the Shnei Tavshil.
Maybe they have to be separate. But this is on top of Dagger.
The Iker Adin, it really should be like an Iker and a Tofel. It's all cooked together, fried fish together with egg. So it should really be one Tavshil.
Yeah.
It's really one Tavshil. So that's a special cooler that the Beis Shammai Mekel to treat it like Shnei Tavshil.
Mm-hmm.
But Iker Adin, let's say in Hilchus Erev Tisha B'Av, it really should be considered Tavshil Echad. So there in the Shulchan Aruch, it's a machloikis. If you have Dagger Beit Shalom, do you consider it Tavshil Echad? But Shnei Tavshilin for the purposes of the Suda Masech. Then the Mishnah can, Then the Mishnah concludes. What happens if I had an Erev Tavshilin, and it was eaten up by mistake? Somebody ate it up, or it got lost. Acholo, Osha Ovad. They made an Erev Tavshilin with Abroch everything on Erev Yom Tov, and then in the middle of Yom Tov somehow. The dog ate it up, or one of the guests ate up. Someone by mistake ate up the Erev Tavshilin. So what do you do? So it says, from the time that it disappeared, from that time on, lo yivashal lo lebetchila. You're not allowed to do any more cooking. Whatever cooking you did before then, l'shem Shabbos is okay. But after you realize that you're no longer having your Erev Tavshilin, doesn't help the fact that you made an Erev Tavshilim. But if the Erev Tavshilim disappeared, so there's no more heter. However, if the Mashir Mamma Kolshu, Sam Khalim Shabbos, let's say I put away a big roast, a whole roast for Shabbos, and Erev Yontav, and Erev Tavshilim. And then at Yontav, I keep on slicing off parts of the roast, slicing, but I still have a half a roast. I still have a quarter of a roast, I still have a big chunk. So it says, as long as something is left, a kolshu is left over, Sam Khalim Shabbos. So the Gemara says, how much is a kolshu? The Gemara says, kolshu means a kezayis. I state kolshu, that's what it means. Kolshu means kezayis. And the Gemara says on the top of Tezayin on the base, Omer Ababe, the top lines. Omer Ababe, the Shir, Erev Tavshilin is Kazayis. Iboy Lahu, Kazayis. Have the husband and the wife, they have nine children, the children have grandchildren.